2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
There is also the significant threat of electrocution.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
Talk about doing something ridiculous for a bit of cash.
Triple M footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
Thanks for putting up with me.
And to keep these two in check.
Jay, I've just noticed something. How well are you going this morning? Your top's inside out.
Fox footy, Sarah Ollie.
You're looking great.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, good morning and welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. How are we this morning, gentlemen?
Morning, Sarah. Going well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, no,
Jay?
Very good.
Hello, team.
And Jay's up and about because we were having a debate this morning about skinny milk and full cream milk.
Yep.
And Jay, you're all about the full cream.
Yeah, skinny milk is an absolute con. It's got more sugar in it than full cream milk.
Is that right?
Stop drinking it, Sarah. I mean, you're about all about your fitness campaigns.
I am
staying
at the moment,
in
yes.
Great shape.
Yes.
You're still drinking skinny milk.
Yes. It's
have a look at
calories, Jay.
Turn the carton around, people, and have a look where there is more sugar. It is skinny. Don't, Joey, don't give me that condescending
look. Do you like
look.
The taste?
It is a
do you like the taste?
Skin myth.
Milk. Really?
Skinny milk, shocking. And full cream milk's better for
and
you.
And you had a lovely full cream latte this morning.
It's outstanding. Yeah, and with less sugar.
And Joey?
Well, Jay doesn't know this yet. We've saved this for
no.
Now. Well, I had to go and do a coffee run for us. It was before the show. And Sarah and I both have skim milk and you wanted a full cream latte.
Yep.
But I've learnt because my wife did some baristering. It's hard for a barista
it's
to make
annoying.
Some, annoying to have one skim milk and one full cream milk. So I just said for three skim lattes. And all you did for 10 minutes was bang on about us two having skim lattes. And then didn't he, before he went to, he goes, geez, that was a beautiful coffee, Joey.
Full cream milk.
Not knowing it was skim milk. So there you go. Stick that up, you clacker.
Well. Yeah, lovely skinny milk for Jay.
That's a nice little stitch up, that
I
one.
But it was just, yeah. I didn't think you'd even notice.
As luck would have it.
I just didn't think
it's a full mind over matter. This is like, what's that movie Jean-Claude Van Damme in kickboxing? You know, he was kicking the palm trees and, you know, it was like his shin broke and,
yeah, it's
know.
All placebo. It's
yeah,
all that's exactly right. It's all placebo. Because I just don't like the taste of full cream milk.
I thought I was drinking a full cream milk.
You lectured us. You lectured Sarah and I for
on
5 minutes
horse.
About skim milk. I said, mate. Your coffee was skim milk and you said it was one of the best coffees you'd had.
All right, well, after the milk chat, there's plenty more of sport to come. We're going to look at last night's game and later in the show we'll speak to umpire Ray Chamberlain. His 300th game last
yeah,
night, Razor, so
Ray.
We'll get him on the line. And then BJ, your mate, Brendan Goddard, Joey,
yeah, this
he's
is
at the US Open.
It's unbelievable. He's caddying at the US Open as we speak for Marcus Fraser, the professional Australian golfer. So we'll find out how he's going and we'll hopefully speak to BJ and get all the insights into what's happening behind the scenes because for him, he's living his dream,
yeah.
A caddy at the US Open.
And I want to know if he's club cleaning. He's up to
he's up
to standard. Whether he's sort of, you know, is he notepad flipping? He's up to the full standard.
Well,
there was
a bit of a group chat going yesterday, and Marcus had a rough first round, and all the boys were asking BJ. We didn't give him any of his honest feedback that we know BJ can do.
And pinching. Can you pinch in footy, Joey? Ooh. I want to know what your thoughts on pinching are. Has anyone pinched you before?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do the show now.
If someone pinched your son at school?
Mop him.
Put him under the house with Jay doing the insulation.
No, I'm just kidding.
Almost the mark. Orazio, soccer off the ground. Struck it beautifully. The little man. Oh, no. No one on the line. It's bounced.
Oh,
and got through for a goal.
Greatest shepherd of all time, that by Sissy.
Tippin Woody. Start. He's got Tippin free and he just fell over. Completely on his own. Tippin Woody fell over. They're coming from everywhere. This is your traditional melee now.
Bell Chambers is laughing at them.
Oh, Poppy's taking him on.
No one's just Poppy in the corner.
He's grabbed him.
He's rubbed him on the head. He's rubbed him on the head.
Oh, it's back on again.
Advantage is the pay. Goal is there. Bombers are home tonight.
A big win for the Essendon Football Club.
In the immortal words of Freddie Mercury, keep yourself alive. And that's what Essendon have done with a 17-point win over Hawthorn. They've kept their season alive, Joey. And it's safe to say finals is still a reality for the Bombers after last night.
Yep, absolutely it is. After that win, I think the loser, we all agree, was going to make it extremely difficult to make finals. I think you can almost rule out Hawthorn playing finals this year. The Bombers, and if they continue to play that way, that was what I liked about their performance.
What do you mean by that way?
Oh, well, I just think there's so much about Essendon, and I'm surprised Hawthorn weren't able to combat it, but when McKenna and Sard are allowed to do what they do, that's a lot of their game. They want to bring the ball into the corridor. They want to get overlap run and play with a bit of speed. And when they are allowed to do that, We've seen it a number of times this year. They're a very hard team to stop. If you can take that away, they are a bit vulnerable because they don't quite have as many other avenues or options to score goals than when they can bring the ball and explode off half back and use that run and carry. But last night, they were excellent, particularly in that second half, and are certainly well and truly in the finals hunt, although they've got two tough games to come with West Coast away and the Giants.
It's going to be a very big fortnight for the Bombers. Jay, on the other side of things, Hawthorn.
Disappointed.
Very disappointing performance.
Yeah, I really thought they struggled in the front half of the ground. Like, they really struggled to take a mark in there. They played Sicily, who was almost Hawthorn's best player now in the forward half, but he went back. John Segler was up there as a marking target. But for me, look, I really think that it's time for a Jared Roughhead recall. He plays in the VFL today at 2 o'clock out at Windy Hill. And if he has any sort of decent game, he simply must play because he can take a catch still clearly. We know he's probably in his last season, but I think that he would have been perfect last night. They tried to manufacture a forward line without Mitchell Lewis, without Roughhead last night. But if he has a decent game in the VFL today, I think Jared Roughhead plays next week against Sydney at the SCG, or certainly should if the Hawks are wanting to win that game and still have a crack at playing finals.
So do you think Clarko would be prepared to bring Ruffy back in, even though in the long term he's not going to be part of the plans?
Yeah, I don't think it's got to that stage for the Hawks yet. They're a competitive football club. You know, Alistair Clark's going to be thinking about getting the next four premiership points, maybe making finals, and then who knows what can happen from there because it's a very even season. So, look, I don't think the Hawks are throwing things away just yet. Yes, he's talked about sort of the next premiership side, but I think he would have helped Hawthorn win last night and halfway through the season. You know, I think he's still he's someone who can still help them win games. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, not sure. I'm not sure whether, I mean, watching the way Hawthorn used the ball last night, that slow kicking game, it would make it very hard for any forward to really have a huge impact.
Their kicking game is off, Joey.
Well,
they
took a lot of marks, but you're right, but they weren't making those kicks count in the front half of the field where it matters. It's that final kick that's all important. I mean, it took them until nearly half time to find their first mark inside 50. So I don't know how much of a difference, to be fair, Jared Roughhead would have made last night. But you're right, they're trying a lot of forwards. So they've tried Mitchell Lewis, who you said got dropped. Connor Nash, they've had a crack at trying down there. Tim O'Brien, they're playing. So they are looking for the next wave. But you're right, none of them have stood up and actually, you know, said, this is my spot to take. So maybe you do give Roughhead another chance. And I agree with you, though. I think they're a team that aren't just going to concede this season and worry about 2020 yet. They'll still try and win every game.
Yep.
Whether that's with or without Roughhead, that's the big question, I think.
When Segler missed that set shot and goal, was at the start of last quarter, I think they're about 20 points down. If he'd nailed that set shot from 25 metres out, like, that's one that Roughhead buries, if you know what I mean. So if it's a like-for-like, Segler for Roughhead, I would rather Ruffy in my team, because he's going to kick that goal.
Who's improved at the Hawks this year, Joey? Have we seen enough improvement from some of the youngsters?
I think we have. I think Jarman Impey's improved as a player. I think Warple, Blake Hardwick continue to improve. Yep. They're getting games into Cousins. Ricky Henderson's obviously having his best year. And they've still got some talent there. I mean, you're going to get Tom Mitchell back. You've got Jager O'Meara, Tom Scully, who's almost back to his, you know, fitness levels that are required. A couple of the Irish boys are going okay, still got a bit of work to do. And as you said, these young key forward or key position players, they're going to have to try and develop. And Ben McAvoy is always rock solid. So they're around the mark. Look, you've always got faith in the Horse, what they do at their football club and the list.
Hey, credit
and the
to
coach.
Dylan Clark, the second year Essendon midfielder.
Another great game.
So he took out Patrick Cripps a fortnight ago, and then last night did the job on Jager O'Meara. Yep. It shows, Joey, there is still a place for this sort of hard nut tagger to take out the opposition.
23 touches for O'Meara.
Yeah, and he only had 50% were efficient. I think only half were efficient. He had no influence on the game. So Dylan Clark, that is a big win because that probably is what Essendon have lacked. They've talked about lacking that big body in the midfield.
Yeah.
Well, this is a player that can just lock away on the big midfielder for the opposition and try and nullify them. And don't underestimate the influence of Orazio Fantasia. He's almost Essendon's most important player. When he plays in that forward line, things just happen. It just creates a bit of havoc. It draws attention and it allows other players to flourish. Fantasia is such an important player to this team.
What we saw too was that midfield, that Essendon midfield, show that A-grade quality. So Merritt was excellent. The third quarter when they took the game away from Hawthorn, Merritt Scheel, albeit with a hyperextended knee, he might be sore this week, Heppel as well. Yep. So that midfield, really, not for the first time this season, but they've been sort of a bit hit and miss. I thought that midfield was very good last night. And you're right, Sarah, with Clark playing a role in there, you know, it looks solid.
Shall we just give it to us again, the next fortnight for the Bombers? Who do they have?
They've got West Coast away Thursday night in Perth, which is a huge game. And then the Giants, I think, back at the MCG. So it's going to be...
What do you think about those
games? I think they're going to lose both those games. Yeah, okay. And there's still the big question mark. As I said, They need to do it week in, week out. And that's the question for Essendon. And that's the next couple of weeks will tell whether they are a genuine finals team or whether they're just not quite there yet.
Now, Jay, you're a bit fidgety over there. Are you trying to work off that skinny milk already?
Oh, I'm fidgety all the time. I have to kick a footy around or play with a tennis ball or something. Like my mates think I'm like a dog because I like chase balls around the place. Like, right. I just always got to be kicking a footy or something.
Now, speaking of being a bit fidgety, last night pinching was put on the agenda, Joey, because the Hawthorn skipper, Stratton...
Been a pest.
Yeah, he just decided to get into Orazio Fantasia's arm and he had bruises all over the back of his arm by the end of it.
Yeah, that made it quite visible, didn't it? But he's been like that for a long time, Ben Stratton. I mean, a few weeks ago there was controversy with Charlie Cameron. He was giving him little open-handed whacks and little punches to the arms and... it's just a defender's tactics that have done for 100 years to just be really annoying. We had one of the best of all time at it, Stevie Baker.
Oh, yes.
Who had all the little tricks to try and get under the skin. If you
Did
remember,
he pinch?
I don't know if he pinched, but he had a lot of other tricks. And if you remember, Stevie Johnson got sick of it one day and they went toe-to-toe behind the play because they both got sick of it. But, yeah, no, I think we all agree the times have changed and it's not a good look, and particularly with the visuals of seeing the bruise marks on Fantasia's arm. And I think it's fair to say, Jay, there's been a precedent with Ryan Crowley a few years ago. I think this is a pretty straightforward case. It goes to the tribunal and he gets fined and says to Stratton, if you want to do it again, go for it, but you're going to keep getting fined, and I think that might just put an end to it.
You're spot on, Joey. It'll be a $1,500 fine. On Monday, Michael Christian, the match review officer, will fine him. He'll accept an early guilty plea. It'll cost him $1,000. But I'm more worried about Ben Stratton's legacy. You know,
he's a captain. He can't be doing this.
Yeah, like, I just think it's such a poor look. And, like, he's been a great defender on smalls and talls for a long time. Like, he doesn't want this. I reckon this is a bit of a stain on your legacy as a footballer and as a person who's been such an underrated player for a long time. He doesn't want this. And I remember North Melbourne, Scott Thompson went through this a bit. Remember with the Barry Hall thing?
Yep.
I don't know, it's probably 6 or 7 years ago. Now, he used to do that niggly stuff. And I remember him talking with senior people at the club and they said to him, let it go because you're a lot better player than that. You know, Brad Scott didn't want him to do that anymore. So, look, I think you lose respect within the football industry amongst your peers doing that sort of stuff. And I reckon you should just cut it out because the bruising on the back of Orazio Fantasia's arm.
Awful.
Awful.
Yeah. And what'll be interesting, and we're going to speak to Ray Chamberlain in the second hour, I think was actually involved in that conversation.
Yes.
Now, what does the umpire have the ability to pay a free kick? And if they do, what is the free kick for? Or is it something that has to go to the match review officer? So we can ask Ray Chamberlain, who was involved in that incident at quarter time. I believe Orazio even spoke to the umpire. So we'll ask Ray Chamberlain about it in the second hour.
Mm. We certainly will. Now, injuries from last night, Jay, there's a few concerns for the Bombers.
Yeah, Stringer and Shields. So Stringer didn't play any part of the game after sort of going down that really awkward sort of contest. There was concern for the inside of his knee and inside of his ankle, had strapping around his calf. So we've asked the Bombers this morning. They'll say they'll await the outcome of scans to see that. Wouldn't be surprised if he misses some game, Jake Stringer. And also Shielu hyperextended his knee. He kept playing, so he'll probably just have a light week on the track, but we'll see how that goes. As you said, they've got a tough run coming up, Joey, but they need those players out there.
Yeah, a little hyperextension. Hopefully, or certainly not as bad as Josh Jenkins.
Yeah.
Have we got an update on Josh Jenkins? Because that was nasty, but fingers crossed it looks like it might not be season ending.
Yeah, so no ACL, which is good news. But he's definitely going to miss some footy as that repairs. So with bone bruising, you know, that can be 4 to 6 weeks, and that's what it looked like. That can recover quicker sometimes, but we'll wait and see on him. Can I ask you about the Roos 1999 Premiership reunion? So our good friend Duck Wayne Carey is going to rock up.
He's going to party like it's 99.
Yeah, so.
That's very good. I'm sure they will too.
That's going to be your new stinger, I think. I've set the under over beers for those boys at about 20, I reckon, 20 drinks today, which would be great. But the really interesting thing here is that John Longmire is going to be there. So he's clearly the number one coaching target for the Roos at the moment. And North Melbourne, great Glenn Archer is going to be there, whose job it is to handpick the next...
reckon after 10 beers, you just go, hey, Johnny!
After his
10th beer. Not even 10. Four.
I reckon after four.
The start just chipping away. At some point at this inner city pub, Glenn Archer is going to pull aside Johnny Longmire. And just start getting, how much do you want? 1.2?
How good is it seeing all the boys 1.4. Back together? The shin boners, we're back.
If Horse Longmire plays this right, he could be worth 1.8 by the end of the night. Yeah.
Do you reckon there'll be a few journos staking that one out, Jay?
your Tommy Brown type.
your words, not mine.
Just wondering.
Is Ash Chua? Is Ash the great statistician, two-time day-night premiership statistician,
Chu
Man?
How good is this by Duck? He's taking Chu Man.
Oh, that's awesome.
As his guest. Yep. And that's what a legend Duck is. So, hey, those boys, I mean, you've been to these reunions before, and they're a lot of great fun. Will you catch up every year with the Saints boys?
It's not a premiership reunion, unfortunately. No. We catch up in prelim week.
But all the old stories come out, don't they?
Yeah, we do. We still do catch up once a year, and it's always the best time. We wish we do it more often. We always say, we should do this more often, and we all say, yeah, and then life just gets in the way.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard time, and obviously we spoke about the footy last night. Essendon defeating Hawthorn by 19 points in a... dominant display by the Bombers in the second half. And on Thursday night, Adelaide were too good for a gallant Richmond. They put up a good fight, Jay, didn't they, the Tigers? But in the end, the weight of numbers and their players missing were too much, and the Crows came away with a comfortable win.
It was gutsy, I thought, from the Tigers. Yeah, they were there until, I think it was, with 12 minutes to go in the last quarter, they were 4 points down.
But they've only got 9 games to go in their season, Richmond.
Seven at the MCG,
but
Joey.
But they need to win 6 of 9 because they've only won 7 games. You need 13 wins to lock in a final spot, particularly with their percentage. So they're going to have to go 6-3 on the run home. Now, I know they've got games at the MCG. They'll get players back, but it's a tough competition to go 6-3 on the run home. So a bit of work to do for the Tigers, but...
No guarantee to play finals.
No, but we're not going to discount them because we know they're a very good side, but they need to get their players
Sounds
back.
Sounds like you are, Joey.
No, I'm just saying I've got doubts. I've got question marks, that's all. Melbourne Storm, our boys take on the Newcastle Knights today, 3 p.m. at Amy Park. So with no footy in Melbourne this afternoon, maybe get to Amy Park and watch the Storm.
Very clever.
Melbourne Rebels, they had a chance to play finals last night. Jay, we're going to chat to Drew Mitchell if they had a one.
Got pounded, Joey.
They got pounded by 50. So their season's over. They'll be starting their end of season celebration. So the Melbourne Rebels season came to a crashing halt.
Where would you go, Joe, if you had the day on the fizz with your teammates, you know, like Mad Monday style?
Today,
where's your favourite?
Any sport, any pub that's got any footy and races and sport on, you can just sit around and have beers all day.
What was this local St Kilda one? What did you used to do? Where'd you hide away, you boys? Don't remember it?
No, bit of everywhere.
Okay.
Random question.
A good day.
random question on my Saturday scoreboard segment. The Matildas, they had a cracking 3-2 comfort behind win against Brazil. They were down 2-0 against Brazil, one of the top 10 teams in the world, to keep their World Cup campaign alive. They've got a big game against Jamaica, is it, on Wednesday?
We got a bobsled team.
Going to have to beat Jamaica, but they are going really well. The girls, good to see them back. We might chat more about that in the second hour.
Sam Kerr said suck on that one.
She told the haters to suck on that one.
Yeah. What do you think, Sarah? Are you okay with
that? Well, do we have the audio there, Rabs? Yeah, let's play.
Oh, I'm so proud of the girls. We knew we were in it at halftime, and, you know, there was a lot of critics talking about us, but we're back, so suck on that one.
Okay with that from Sam Kerr, Sarah?
Look, she probably could have chosen her words a bit more wisely, but I don't have too big of a problem with it. I said before, it kind of reminds me of Michelle Payne after she won the Melbourne Cup, kind of us against the world mentality, and I clearly think there's a lot going on that we don't know about.
I was going to say, I'm not sure who's potting the Matildas girls. Like, we're all
cheering.
You know, cheering for them.
Cheering loudly.
But obviously they've got some issues with, I know there's been a lot of stuff with Alan Stadjic.
The politics
behind it and the boardroom stuff. So maybe she's referring to that because we're all cheering on the girls and hope they can get through the next stage. Australia, speaking of World Cups, playing Sri Lanka tonight.
Great.
In another big game. So hopefully...
What time's that one?
That game is 7:30.
Great. Yep.
And hopefully we can win the toss and bat first so we can watch Australia bat because lately they haven't been winning the toss. Yeah. And actually Brad Haddin's little son was in the press conference with Aaron Finch and this is what he had to ask Aaron Finch.
Are you
going to
win a coin toss?
I don't know. I'd like to. I don't think I won one in the warm-up games either. I had a good run at the start of the Pakistan series and then lost a couple towards the end. So it's been a while since I've won a toss. Good question.
Is Brad Haddin's little son. He's got his little cheekiness from his old man, obviously.
Did you captain the Saint? Were you
captain
heads or
a couple
tails?
Times? Yeah, heads I was heads man. Okay. Yep. Because our team manager always said to do tails, so I chose heads. I can't remember whether I won or lost, though. I just did. He said, Rui always does tails or something. And I said, I'm going head then, because I'm not Rui. And I think I probably failed. But anyway, the golf, obviously the US Open, we're going to chat to BJ, who is there caddying for Marcus Fraser at the moment when he finishes his round. We'll chat to BJ, but the leaderboard, Justin Rose, is 7 under. Louis Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen. He's one off the lead, 6 under. Gary Woodland at 6 under. Best of the Aussies, Adam Scott, 3 under. So he's still in contention. And Marcus Fraser,
Do we know if he's made the cut?
No, I think it looks like he'll miss the cut. So I wonder if BJ gave him any feedback, but we'll chat to BJ in the second hour. And of course, just wrapping up the American sports, the NBA finals yesterday, Toronto Raptors won their first ever NBA championship, defeating Golden State 114-110. So they won the series 4-2. Great news, although some bad injuries for Golden State. Obviously, Kevin Durant's done an Achilles and will miss the next 12 months. And Klay Thompson an ACL, so he'll also miss 12 months. So shocking for the Golden State Warriors. And the NHL during the week, the St. Louis Blues won their first title in years, the Stanley Cup, defeating Boston Bruins 4-2. But the amazing story with that, Jay, is they were last in the ladder in December. They sacked their coach, the St. Louis Blues, and then went on to win the Stanley Cup.
Didn't know this.
So for Kangaroos fans...
chance.
Could. There's still hope. You never know.
Sam Kerr would say.
Absolutely.
Now, beautifulest Jay over there, your insulation, can you tell us how it's going?
Yeah, well, Joey set the market at 100 to 1, whether I could insulate the underfloor of my house. And it's taken me 2 weeks, but I finally got there.
You finished it. You completed it.
Well, pretty much. 80, 90% done. Didn't get electrocuted. Didn't get bitten by a spider.
You sent us some creepy photos, though, of you under the house.
Was it worthwhile doing it yourself, or would it have been easier just to pay someone to do it?
Yeah, it would want to be warmer in our house, considering what I've been going through. Like, not sure if you've seen Murder in the First, a movie about a bloke who's been in solitary confinement for 3 years and makes friends with spiders, basically. I felt a bit like that yesterday. Thank goodness I had Game 6 of the NBA to sort of keep me company. But job done. What's your DIY triumph, Joey? What is your handyman?
Well, we know about my handyman skills. I was pretty impressed. I put our baby-proof gate at the bottom of the stairs so Noah couldn't climb the stairs. I did that myself.
Bolted the gate.
Yeah.
Good one, Joey.
That's about the extent of what I can do. We know this. We know I've rung Hira Hubby before when I've been home, Sarah. I went and hid in the spare room. We rang Hira Hubby to come and fix something, and I had to hide in the spare room because I didn't want to be home to pretend that I was there to Hira
Hubby. You've
got
to front up to the shame of that, I reckon. Nah, you've got to accept
I just didn't have the tools to fix the toilet seat.
Yeah, so all the skills. Sarah, what's your
DIY triumph? Yes. No, I don't have one pragmatic bone in my body, and I blame my father for that because he is useless. Well,
let's hear from the experts then. Let's hear from some of the pros.
Yeah, okay.
Some of their stories.
Who are we got in line?
Sean, what have you done?
Mate, I'm not big on mechanics. I just think anything I pay for that I can't see, I'm real sceptical about. So, and I know nothing about cars, so I use the YouTube video to service my own car.
That is extraordinary.
Fair dinkum.
Is the car still going, Sean?
Yes.
It is. I even cleaned something called a math filter. I have no idea what it does.
That is impressive.
But
I clean this thing...
Well done.
All right. Well, Sean's up there, isn't he?
I'll just call him a tight ass. It's like somebody who doesn't want to pay for things himself. Very good, Sean. Who else we got now? We've got Will from Kings Park. Will.
G'day, guys.
What have you done? What's your DIY?
Yeah, I had to build a playroom for my kids.
Well
done. Including insulation in the wall, roof. I had a drain pipe leaking into the room, so I had to clear the drain pipe as well. Took out about 2 metres of tree roots and soil and...
commitment.
Well done, Willis.
Really dug in for the kids. Hope they appreciate it.
Build a room. I wouldn't know where to start building a room.
That sounded pretty good to me.
Well, it's teaming with the theme there as well.
That's what you do for your kids.
The insulation. Yeah.
Jason from Long Worry. What's your DIY, Jason?
How you doing, guys?
Good, mate.
Good.
Built our own house.
What?
So, it wasn't really a house. It was more of a shed. But we lived in it for 4 or 5 years, me, the missus, and the 2 kids.
Are you a builder?
No, I'm not a builder. I'm an electrician.
Wow.
But, I've learned a lot about plumbing and building, and it went all right in the end. So even the missus had to actually plasterboard the bathroom because she got sick of bathing with just a frame up.
Well done. That's a real family effort.
Impressed.
They built their own house.
So impressive.
Yeah, very good.
All right, who's next on the line, Joey?
Joe. We've got Joe from Lilydale.
G'day, how are you?
Good, Joe.
Hey, I ripped off the plasterboard on my splashback behind the hot plates. My wife didn't like the vanilla square tiles. She thought it was ugly for 5 years or so.
Yep.
And one night, I ripped all the plaster off, exposed beams, new plaster, new subway tiles all through.
Well done. Yeah. And is she happy? Your wife happy now?
Yeah.
Oh, she's over the moon. She said, finally, you got it done.
Good man, Joe. Well done.
You'd had enough, Joe, hadn't you? Like, it gets to a point where you get nagged to a point where it just becomes easier to do.
How long can you put off when, you know, your wife complains about it? You're like, I'll do it. And you try and see how long you can hold off until eventually...
Joe's gone 5 years.
He did. That's good. Last one, we've got Joel from Berwick. Joel, what's your DIY?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, mate.
Good.
That's good. I installed my own home theatre system. I bought all the stuff and everything, mate. It cost me maybe $400.
Beautiful. Have you got any electrician experience, or would you just have a crack at it?
No, not at all. Not at all, mate. $100 for some speakers on eBay, a screen for about $100, secondhand amp and some block-out blinds and a bit of, a dark-coloured paint on the walls and up in the roof, installing roof speakers and YouTube videos and running cables and praying for the best.
Good man. Well done, Joel. I like that one.
Too lazy to do any of this.
So am I.
Well done. Yeah.
Well, I want to give one. First of all, Jason.
What is it? What are we giving away?
Oh, we're giving away the tickets to the ice hockey at the Docklands.
Double
pass to see Canada and the USA next Saturday. Two double passes. So the two winners, I'm going to give it to Jason from Long Warrior, who built his own home with his wife out of a shed. Jason, well done, mate. You can go watch some ice hockey.
Thanks,
take your wife for a night. Get a babysitter for the kids. Take your wife to the ice hockey. Enjoy your night at Docklands. And also, I'll give it to Joel for the home theatre set. I like that one. He went on eBay, bought some stuff, and he put it together. Joel, you're going to go to the ice hockey, mate. Go and take a friend and go to watch Canada and the USA at Docklands next week. Well done, mate.
Awesome. Thanks, Joey.
How intimidating are those instruction booklets? You know, there's like 700 pages, in, out, chords going. Like, it's intimidating.
Yeah, IKEA stuff is just an absolute nightmare for me.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Jay, it's your pick one. What do you have for us?
I'll try and give Joe a bit of a curly question on football. And just wondering, Joe, if you only had to pick one for your team, the Montana Midgets or something like that, who would you take out of... Rabsy like that
as
one.
As long as we don't set them alive.
Coming from the big massive unit himself, Jay Clark.
Mitch Duncan of Geelong had a fine season on the wing and playing a bit more on ball. Or the Essendon skipper, Dyson Heppel. Who would you rather on your team, Mitch Duncan of the Cats or Dyson Heppel, Joey? What are you looking at me like that for?
Oh, I just thought you might have put on a little bit of weight since you had that skim milk this morning and the coffee, all the sugar Anyway, it's a good one, but I'm a big Mitch Duncan fan. I think he's the best kick inside 50 in the competition.
Really?
Absolutely. Mitch Duncan's underrated. He's a superstar, Mitch Duncan. He's an absolute jet. He's underrated because he's played behind Dangerfield and Selwood, and now Gary Ablett's back at the club. Tim Kelly's had an amazing year, but Mitch Duncan's an absolute star. He's one of the best kicks in the competition. His year's going underrated. I'd take him in my team any day of the week.
And then Dyson Heppel, I mean, he was good again last
night.
Yeah,
he's a very good player.
You like him inside?
He's a very good player. Yeah. I think as for midfielders in the comp, there's probably guys that are more damaging and a bit more, the skills, kicking's a bit better. And I just think Mitch Duncan's an absolute beauty.
So, underrated, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's one who flies under the radar at Catland.
Yeah, and I think he'll get his first All-Australian this year, Mitch Duncan, because he deserves it. He's been awesome.
It's a big call.
But he's an All-Australian?
Yeah.
Oh, don't think it is. But
well, I think
Where would you have him?
On the wing.
On the wing, okay.
All-Australian on the wing.
Okay.
It's
going to be a competitive spot, or two spots on the wing this year, I think.
Who do you like, Sarah, for the wing of your Australian team?
Bradley Hill.
Yep, he's
very
in
good
contention.
One.
Yep,
I'd definitely have him there.
Yep.
I think a future winger in the All-Australian team is going to be Ollie Florent.
Yes.
Really like what he's about. Who else would you have on the wing, Joey?
Off the top of my head, you'd probably have to have like another midfielder, maybe like a...
Ricky Henderson type?
No, he wouldn't be. No, he's not going to make
it. He's had an excellent year.
He's not All-Australian.
Winning a lot of the pill.
He is, but he's not All-Australian.
Best and fairest.
You'd put... One of the midfielders that you can't fit on ball under the wing.
How many times are you All-Australian?
Two.
Only two times.
Only two.
This isn't about me. We're talking about Mitch, Duncan.
Now, tonight, boys, Australia take on Sri Lanka at the Oval in the World Cup. It's exciting times for the Aussies, Jay. What have you made so far of their tournament?
I've really enjoyed the Cricket World Cup. I don't think we've hit our straps yet, Joey. So we're 3-1. We got beaten by the Indians pretty convincingly. But I think we've got another gear to go, let's be honest. But, I mean... Dave Warner, it was fascinating to watch Dave Warner, and in particular the reaction after his ton. Joey, were you happy that he succeeded, that he triumphed in the moment? Because I think he's still probably winning the Australian public back over.
Yeah, and I think he's still slowly winning me over. I'm not a massive David Warner fan, but it was nice. But I'm still, always rooting for the player to succeed and for him to make 100. You could see how much it meant to him. I probably thought the carry on after nicking a ball in between slipping the keeper,
lucky,
where you
yes.
should have been, you should have been caught, to then maybe a bit more of a humble celebration, be whoof,
yep.
I just dodged a bullet to make 100.
That's Warner though, isn't it?
It is a little bit. And that was probably a little bit of, even when I watched that, I was like, it's a bit of carry on for a bloke who just edged it and went in between slipping keeper, should have probably gone out.
Yep.
And then you do a big celebration like that. I know it meant a lot. I mean, I'm still warming to Davey Warner. I think he's certainly been humbled by the experience of what happened. So you always want to see them succeed second time round, but I've still be concerned about the Aussies, whether we've got enough firepower to match England and India. No, with our batting.
Yep.
Our batting. Whether we've got enough firepower to match India and England come semi-final time, even New Zealand, because we need Smith or Warner, I think, really, to make 100 for us to win against those big teams come the semi-final time. So
Finch has looked all right as well.
Finch has been good.
Yeah.
But he just always seems lately to be sort of going out when he gets a start. So interesting times ahead. There's sort of been a bit strange. A few games have been washed out, haven't they, Jay?
Yep.
They've sort of been washed. Every time you flick over to look at the cricket, it's a replay of another game and it's cold. It's been a little bit off-putting, but there's been some good cricket as well.
The interesting thing, or the curious thing in the win over the Pakistan, was Usman Khawaja. So he came in, I think, 6 at the end after the strong start.
It's the first time he's ever batted at 6.
Yeah, and he's probably not. I know his T20 record is okay, but he's probably not the natural big hitter. Like,
no.
He's an accumulator, isn't he? So if he's not coming in at 3, it's really hard to see where he fits into the batting order. But I think the big question mark for the Aussies, for me, for the rest of the tournament, is the bowler. Is the bowling, and in particular that third paceman. So we've got Stark and
Cummins,
who are knockout, right? Yeah. But it's then that next bowler, and you know, we haven't played Hazelwood because his fitness has been a concern. And it was, whether it's, you know, Berendorf or Richardson, that's going to be the bowler who the other team attacks, especially the quality batting lineup. So if someone can really step up in that role, then I think we could go a long way. But at the moment, I'm just worried about that third.
Well, that's that. It's the all-rounder. So Stoinis is injured. He's got a side strain. So they've flown Mitch Marsh over to come as a contingency, because they think we need, you need that all-rounder to bat at 7 or 8. Coulter Nile, who actually did
NCN.
Really well, but his bowling has
who's
been
taken
horrible.
Some stick.
Went for 130 in his two, like in 20 overs. So he hasn't quite lived up to it. Stoinis is not quite there yet with the battle ball. So you're right, it's the all-rounding spot that's going to hurt us. But as for Khawaja, I think we've got to keep him in the side, because if I look at the balance of it,
but
with
up
Finch,
the order.
Well, it depends. It's horses for courses. If we lose a couple of early wickets, you bring Khawaja in at
perfect.
3 and let him.
Yep.
Everyone can bat around him, because you've still got Maxwell, who has only got one way to play.
Yep.
Warner and Finch, we know one way to play. Steve Smith's got a couple of gears, but I don't mind it. If we're going well, drop him down the order, bring up the big hitters. But if you do need him, you can build your innings around him if we lose a couple of early wickets.
I want to touch on a really classy moment from Virat Kohli. When Steve Smith came out, he was getting booed, and Virat goes over to the Indian crowd and he goes, none of this, none of this. And I tell you what, they quietened down. They obviously respect Virat Kohli enormously, but I just thought that was a really poignant moment in the tournament.
Yeah, that was great scenes, great touch. And I think the IPL has helped that. These players now all play together around the world in the IPL and other tournaments. So they all get on really well. They're all friends. And I thought that was a great touch from Virat Kohli. A bit like what we saw with the Toronto Raptors when they cheered when Clay Thompson hurt himself. That was horrible.
That stunk.
Yeah, that was terrible. So we talk about fan behaviour in Australia, but it goes on all around the world. And the Toronto Raptors players were very good at telling their supporters that wasn't acceptable and to stop cheering someone who was injured.
Speaking of fan behaviour, at the AFL last night, I saw a few tweets. Nat Edwards from AFL.com, she said that she was in the crowd and she felt like she and other sections of the crowd around her were being watched. Jay, there's a crackdown, isn't there?
I think so. I mean, clearly the AFL have got a system at the moment where they've got some spotters and show that number, that anti-social behaviour number, so fans can dob in other fans who are behaving like rat bags. It's hard drawing this line, and ultimately we as fans will do that, I think, because, you know, you'll either dob them in or you won't. You don't want security guards being intimidating.
No.
Like, they need to be in the background, I think, rather than the foreground. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Now, guys, one of the most recognisable umpires in the game.
My favourite.
Great man.
Everyone's favourite. It's Razor Ray Chamberlain. He's on the line after his 300th game umpiring last night. Ray, welcome. And did you have a little celebration after the 300th last night?
Hey, Sarah. Hey, team. We did, actually.
Great.
We had a few family and friends in. It was a full house down in the umpires' rooms, and the AFL were really kind. That was a good night.
You pulled up okay this morning?
I can't sleep.
sleep after night games. Like, it's horrible. You know, you're wired up because everyone's obviously so complimentary, and it's an electric atmosphere and all that sort of stuff. And then, you just can't sleep. So it's like, I mean, when I was younger, I used to go out. I haven't done that for a while, but I feel just as poor.
So, Razor, are you like the players after a game? Do you then keep up at night thinking about decisions you should have paid or you didn't? Like what we used to do as players, where we used to sit through every possession and go, or is it just more because of the hype and the energy? Or is it, do you think about the game?
Nah, two parts, Joe. Like, honestly, the first thing I did when I got home is I went to have a look at, and I've just got to have another look this morning now that I've sort of had some sleep, a decision that I didn't make.
Right.
So I was like, oh, you know, I'm pretty sure Tipper dropped at the knees and caused a high contact. Definitely met high, I don't pay a free. And you carry that stuff with you because, you know, mate, like, we've known each other for a while. The last thing that the little blokes running around in green want to do is actually get it wrong. You know, we're not actually trying to do that. And you sincerely carry it. And so you're desperately just trying to do a good job. So, yeah, mate, there's a bit of that goes through your head most of the night. Yeah.
Now, 300 games, Ray, it's a lot of time to reflect. When you reflect on your career as an umpire, what stands out to you as the defining moment or your favourite memory?
My debut game, there are some, you know, things like that, those types of things, grand finals and finals, Anzac Day games. The game which we played, where two undefeated sides, Geelong and St Kilda, played at Etihad Stadium. It was a banging game. Those sorts of things are unreal. You remember trips away in that with your colleagues and your mates. I'm not saying this because Joe's on the station, but
here we go.
I remember coming back after an injury. I've been out for like 12 months, and to a game in Canberra and St Kilda played at Marnica Oval, and Joey, Lenny, and Nick came up and in the lounge and at the airport and said, "Hey mate, welcome back." And that's one of my favourite moments in 15 years of footy, to have those three boys come over and just do something nice. So they're the things that you remember and you're most grateful for.
Beautiful stuff there, Joey.
Well, because he's a great umpire and we've always admired and respected Ray, so that was easy. But Ray, I wanted to ask you about what is, from your perspective, the biggest misconception about umpires in general? What's something that the umpires maybe together, they sit around and go, this is just something that bugs us, that maybe the media or people in the bigger community have a misconception about?
Yeah, question. They're just like, we've got a Swiss Army knife of personalities in there, right?
Right.
So no two umpires are the same.
Yep.
But they're cracking people. And I said this last night. I could leave my wallet, my phone, my keys, and my kid with any one of them, and go, I'll be back in 40 minutes, and I wouldn't bat an eyelid. And I don't know anywhere else in my life where you have cohorts and demographics that you could honestly say that. And they're just really bloody good citizens. But the other thing that I think is a misconception is that, you know, we actually, we probably beat ourselves up too much about the errors we make. So, you know, people sort of, I think there's a bit of an idea sometimes that we don't admit when we're wrong. And I know there's a public sort of messaging and narrative that takes place, but internally, God, they beat themselves up.
Yep.
You know, I'm constantly having to get around guys going, you know, you did 976 other things pretty bloody well,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think that's probably the thing that within our own walls I'd love to see us continue to get better at is, you know, that affirmation and positivity around things that, hey, you actually are doing this bit well.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Gun AFL umpire Ray Chamberlain, everyone's favourite after his 300th match last night. Ray, what power have you guys got? And we were speaking about this earlier. What power have you got to pay free kicks for pinching? Because you were right in the middle of the interaction between Orazio Fantasia and Ben Stratton last night.
Hey, Jade, look, mate, so there's mechanisms on all sorts of levels, and they'll get taken care of as the week unfolds. So first and foremost, any free kick, and let's park the direct question, any free kick, you've got to be able to see it, don't you? And players are smart, particularly the experienced ones and the ones who get it and are unbelievably good. And so they know when you're watching where, and so you have to see a free kick to be able to pay it. But of course, if you've got enough of sort of evidence around the edges, then we can do things like make an incident referral,
yep.
Direct something to the MRO, and then people who are way above me on the organisational chart, they'll go about making sure that, you know, things are looked after in the right way, and I'm sure that'll all take place.
Handball off to Chris O. Nice one, Razor. It looks, you've done that beautifully. Now, to me, it looks like the game has never been harder to umpire. I've got so much admiration for you blokes because it just seems so difficult. You know, the interpretations, we pick our way through it all day, every day. Do you feel like the game is at its hardest to umpire right now?
I think, and people sometimes come back and think it's the rules that are the issue, and for me, it is. I agree with you. It is a tough game to umpire, and it's changed massively since I first started. Where we'd run further, we'd run half marathons every week when I first started, but it was very much circle work in one side, out the other, and it'd be one-on-one contests, two-on-two contests, up and down the wing, hangers, that sort of stuff. Where now it's all the congestion. You've got so many players around the footy. They're all bloody huge. They execute their defensive skills and pressures so incredibly well, 360 degrees, and we get one look, one moment, and we might have four people to look around when that happens. And I don't know whether you've noticed, Jay, but most of them tend to be a bit bigger than me. So getting around and trying to find the heads, find the ball's a challenge. And so that's where we're about to evolve in terms of all three umpires umpiring at any given moment and where we position ourselves on the ground. So we have to continue to evolve, mate, but the rules themselves are sweet. It's just that condensed, what is it?
And
condensed sort of behaviour that we have to sort of wrestle with.
Well, Ray, you continue to do a great job. Well, congratulations on 300 games, 300. And thank you for your time today.
Nah, good on you guys. I really appreciate it, and have a great weekend, yeah?
Thanks, you too, Razor. Razor.
Well spoken. That was so good by Ray. We should
because all he did was pump the tyres up,
Joey. Just even the way he explained things, I think, was excellent. Some of the points he touched on about how much the umpires beat themselves up on every decision they make. You know, there's this misconception that, they think they do everything right and they only get one or two wrong. And then, you know, his other thing about, even the one about free kick, you can only pay a free kick if you see it. Now, a tiny pinch on the back of the arm, I know they're pretty good, the umpires, but that's pretty difficult to see someone who gives a little, pinch on the back of the arm. So I think Ray spoke really well, and the reason why we should hear, I think, more from umpires.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
On the line, we've got Brendan Goddard all the way from Pebble Beach. He's been caddying at the US Open for Marcus Fraser. BJ, welcome. And can you tell us, has Marcus made the cut?
Yeah, hey, guys. Far away from it, to be honest, but we'll couple back with about four or five to play, and we need to start being aggressive to make some birdies because they do have a projected cut number on the big scoreboard. So we knew where we were at when we got to plus four or five, I think it was, so we need to make a few birdies coming in. So need to be a little bit aggressive, and when you're aggressive on a golf course, on a US Open golf course, can either go two ways, and sadly it went south for us.
Tell us, though, BJ, about the experience from your perspective. Obviously, a bit of a dream come true to actually be caddying at the US Open. How was it? And what were you like as a caddy? Did you give much advice? Did you just simply clean the clubs for him? What did you do? And tell us about your experience.
Well, I'd say I was a good caddy to start with. But, it was awesome. I said, you don't exactly dream of caddying the US Open. So it's always been kind of bucket list stuff to come to a US Open and come to majors. So I've experienced one PGA at Southern Hills many years ago. It's kind of dream-like stuff to actually a caddy at a US Open here. It's such an iconic venue, Pebble Beach. So from the time I arrived on early Sunday morning, we came out for a first practice round and practice on the range, it's blown me away. Just one, the Americans are very hospitable, and being a caddy too, you get a lot of privileges here. So but then just the whole operation in general, when you get here and can actually experience it and see how big it is, it's pretty mind-blowing. But and then on the caddy front, mate, Fraser's pretty self-sufficient. So main thing to do is get the numbers, cross-reference to him and just remind him of a few conditions, a bit of wind and where it's coming from, and then remind him of the numbers, and he cross-references everything as well. So there's very few times where I do the numbers myself where he doesn't check them, but Reed's all his own putts and pool, all his own clubs, so he's one of the easier pro golfers to work for, I think, what I've seen this week.
We're speaking to Brendan Goddard, former gun bomber and saint, and now pro caddy for Marcus Fraser over there at US Open. Hey, congrats, BJ. I know what a massive thrill this would have been for you. Tell us about what was the highlight behind the scenes? Like, you're a big golf nut, your interaction, you see Tiger, you have a beer with someone last night.
Have you been a fanboy? Got your autograph?
Yeah, that sort of stuff. Tell us what's been the thrill behind the scenes.
Definitely playing fanboy a bit, but yeah, no, just the range stuff. So getting on the range and seeing guys hit balls. So yesterday was a kind of surreal moment. I've had a few of those this week, but yesterday when Fraser and I finished a round, went to the range to hit balls, and there's a spot next to Justin Rose. So I put the burners on and ran in there and got in there before Fraser still getting balls or something. So he was well behind me. So I plonked next to Justin Rose, and then the goat tiger just rolled in about two from us.
Wow.
And then DJ actually then came and then literally plonked right beside us. There's a little gap there and he pushed some aside because the range gets pretty busy. So yeah, directly behind Fraser had Justin Rose, who's arguably the best ball striker in the world. Then you had DJ, who's obviously been one of the best golfers in the last decade, and then two from him, you got Tiger. So I got a bit of footage there, but yeah, just seeing those guys do what they do, and just to hear the ball off the club is a different sound with those guys. So you're like, you know, top 10 players in the world and top 5 players in the world, and then kind of the rest. Because the ball just sounds different off the club, and what they're doing on the range is was pretty cool to see right up close.
And will you get to play the course, BJ, once they finish up in a couple of days? Or what's your weekend going to look like now? Will you stay and watch the last 2 days, and then do you get to play the course at all?
A few beers?
No, I was lucky enough. I've been saving. I've got some footage of myself hitting a tee shot on the iconic 7 to par 3 on the practice round with Fraser on Sunday. We played Sunday by ourselves and early Monday. And then I got the approach shot into the 8th over the big valley and gorge down to the sea. So I hit a couple of shots on course on Sunday, but unfortunately won't get to play. I think there might be a media day on Monday, but I don't think Caddies can participate in that. And then Rosie and I and Marcus and Carly, Fraser's wife Carly, fly out on Sunday from San Fran, so we're back in Melbourne Tuesday. So the weekend, I think we're just going to chill. Fraser's not interested in doing any more practice or anything, so I think we'll just enjoy the area, and Fraser enjoys watching golf as well, so we'll sit back over the weekend
a few beers
and watch the ending to the Open.
And BJ, I know you broke your hand, mates, about a month ago, and then very courageously played 2 weeks later. How's your own golf game going? What are you hitting off at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was 7 weeks ago, so I've played three times in the last couple of weeks, and I can probably understand how guys get the yips. My first couple of attempts to hit a ball weren't very very good. So, well, the handicap says +2 at the minute, but I tried to convince Fraser the other day after my injury to give me about 4 or 5 shots, and that didn't go to plan. So, give me a few weeks to get back into it, but definitely on the slide come winter and the broken hand.
Well, BJ, keep basking in those caddying privileges and enjoy your time in the US. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, mate.
I feel like you take those caddy responsibilities very seriously, BJ.
But how cool is that? I mean, as you said, your bucket list is to go and watch a major, but to actually be walking the course and being a caddy and all the privileges that come with it, and standing next to Tiger and these guys hitting balls, that's for a golf nut. That's a dream come true for BJ.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Pulling ranks there. I'm going first. I'm giving me a spell to anybody who didn't like the Sydney Stack Eddie Betts exchange after Eddie's bit of brilliance. It was great sportsmanship, great bit of gamesmanship. There was nothing wrong with it. I don't think many people didn't like it. There might have just been one or two grumpy people.
I think most people loved it.
I thought it was great. Great show of sportsmanship for a bit of brilliance. Doesn't matter what sport it is, you can always acknowledge someone's great effort, and I thought that was brilliant. So give me a spell to anyone who tried to pot what Sydney Stack did with Eddie Betts.
And Sydney Stack, how good is he?
He's a star.
You know who deserves a clip? I do, it's fair to say. Last week before our show, we like to sort of brainstorm and kick the footy in the office. My mum's been saying my whole life, stop kicking things in the house. But anyway, I chose to last week, and it came off the side of the boot. Joey desperately lunged to his right. It comes off his fingertips. And if you don't want to break anything in an office, what is it? Well, it collided straight into an Elvis bobblehead, snapped it in half, like broke his head right off.
Was not
I was bubbling. Stressing all last episode about this. I'm thinking this is going to be a precious Graceland memento or whatever, but it was Dangerous Dave's, and they're only $50 on eBay, and it wasn't a personal item for him. But to myself, just stop kicking footies around inside.
Why your parents say don't kick balls inside
the office. So really,
give me a spell, Jay.
Well done to you to trying to save my shocking kick.
Yeah, and I did try.
In the end, it didn't really matter though, did it?
No, he was cool with it. So thanks to Dangerous Dave. for being a legend about it.
All right. Well, give me a spell, England weather. We've got a World Cup on at the moment, and every time I turn on Fox to watch the World Cup, what do I have?
Oh, rain.
Replays and yeah. rain.
It's summer. It's summer in England, isn't it, at the moment? Sure.
It's 12 degrees. Oh, beautiful and warm over in England. So if I get home tonight after the show, if the Aussies are not playing, I'm going to be very angry, Joey. Give me a spell, England weather.
Dead Set Legend of the Week.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
A bit of a serious note, but a positive. A Dead Set Legend. It can't go to anyone other than Mark Lacroix, can it, for his heroics over in Perth on Thursday evening. For those that haven't heard, he was hailed a hero after he pulled two people from a burning car in Perth. He was coming back from a function. He saw them on the side of the road, pulled over, helped save two lives, but unfortunately the third person perished in the car accident. But Mark Lacroix, that was unbelievable courage to be able to do that.
Right,
so he's our Dead Set Legend
stuff.
Of
quick
our
tip,
week.
Joe, before we leave.
I think the Bulldogs will win tonight and St Kilda and Freo.
Racist tip?
Oh, racist tip? no, I haven't got one today.
Okay.
That's all from us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Up next, it's the Saturday Rub.